Good morning again. This week we're going to talk about peace, as you know. And I want to start off by telling you that just like the issue with hope, peace is not always what we think it is. And it's important to understand that Jesus Christ brought peace to the earth. He brought peace on earth. He is the prophesied Prince of Peace. He always will be. But you sit around and you look at the world today and you're like, wait a minute, how can we say Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace when the world's a mess? Turn on the news. You see chaos, you see conflict. And that's the way it was throughout the time that the Bible was written. You remember, the Bible was written by a bunch of people that found themselves in the midst of conflict and angst and rebellion and all these kind of battles that they have, yet we hear peace. Peace, peace. So the question and the challenge to us today and this Advent season is, how can we see peace? How can we have peace in this world around us? Well, you guys know that you will never have peace by looking at your circumstances. You will never have peace by focusing on what's going on in the world. You will never have peace by looking at the problem that you are having right now. Peace is something that has to transcend all those things. And what I want you to see today through the story of the shepherds, but mainly through the words of Jesus Christ, is that peace is completely different than what we think it is. Peace is a relationship. It is a relationship with God that will bring you through all the conflicts. It is not the absence of conflict. It would be nice sometimes to have no conflict, right? I mean, it'd be nice to turn on the good news channel. Let me know if you all have this on your cable TV. A channel that tells nothing but good, godly news. Y'all got that channel? Yeah, I hadn't found that one either. So if you find it, let us know. Because look, the world is a chaotic place. And as that video said, the problem is sin. Sin and the devil and his minions are in here. And they are ruling. They are reigning. You know, he is the ruler of this earth right now. God's in control, but Satan rules right now. And we can look around and we can see that. But go back to the scripture that Mark and Sheila read. Isaiah 9:6 tells us that there's coming a time when that will no longer be the case. And we've seen the first part of the fulfillment of this prophecy. We've seen that the fact that the Prince of Peace was born. Isaiah 9:6 and 7, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And look at verse 7. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So Isaiah is prophesying about a time that's coming when there will be a Savior born who will take the government on his shoulders. Now the Savior's been born. The Savior was born in Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago. The government's not yet on his shoulders. That's when he is returning. That's what we are looking for in this Advent season. And when he takes that government on his shoulders, when he becomes the king of this world on this planet, the king of eternity, the millennial kingdom is established, the eternal kingdom is established, then we know there will be no end to righteousness, there will be no end to peace, there will be no end to his rule. So we've seen part of the prophecy fulfilled. We look forward to the fulfillment of the second part of that prophecy. So you're sitting there thinking, okay, well, that's good. How does this relate to me? How is this going to impact my peace? And there were a group of people back the night that Jesus was born, and they were outside of the town, and these are the shepherds. And that's who we're going to talk about today. these shepherds, you know, we have a image of shepherds. Let's see how our nativity scene is. Yep, nicely dressed young men, you know. Usually we see them in wrapped in sheets. They've got the nice togas on. They're really cute little guys. The truth is that the shepherds back then were the literally dregs of society. They couldn't live anywhere else, so they were the shepherds. They didn't live in town. Why not? Well, because they had to tend the sheep. They smelled pretty bad, history tells us. They were regarded as the lowlifes and unacceptable people, and they were put out of town. People didn't want to associate with these shepherds. And in fact, when you look through history, that's the reason a lot of people started to hate the Jewish people, because they learned that these people were primarily shepherds, and oh man, they had problems. So that's the shepherd group we're going to talk about today. And I want you to understand that this group of undesirable people, of the lowlifes of society, as that society saw it, was the first group of people that God chose to announce the birth of His Savior to. Now, if that doesn't make you feel just like standing up and saying amen, you know, it should, because we don't deserve anything from God, but look at the blessings that He gives us each and every day. So turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start here reading in verse 8. And this is going to be the fulfillment of the first part of that prophecy in Isaiah that we saw about the birth of the Prince of Peace. You know, I think every year, and instead of reading this scripture, I just need to put Charlie Brown up there, because when Linus does this, you can't do it any better than Linus did it, right? So I got some amens out of that. So here we go. But this is what he says. Now there were in that same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." So let's stop there for just a second. These shepherds, imagine, put yourself in their shoes. They are regarded by people as being lowlifes. They're not associated with. People don't like to see them come into town. You know, it's like they come into town, everybody bolts their doors and closes their shutters. And all of a sudden, there's an angel appearing to these shepherds. What would your first reaction be? Is it going to be fear like theirs was? I would think so. And again, you know, we think of angels as being, you know, most of the angels I see in cartoons or Christmas cards are usually women. They have wings. If you read a biblical description of an angel, that is not what the angels look like at all. They're kind of frightening things, okay? So this angel appears, and what's the first thing the angel says? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And that's starting to give us the idea of what peace really is. We think of peace as just being, oh, no problems. But the word for peace, you guys have been here through our studies a couple of years, you know that the Prince of Peace actually translates to the governor of well-being. It's deeper than what we think of peace. It's about looking at your life and saying, my life is in good hands. My life is well, no matter what my circumstances are. That's the difficult part. So these guys are out in the field, and here comes this angel, and the angel says, do not be afraid. And he goes on to tell them, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to, what's that next word? All people. All right? Not most people, not some select people, to all people. And then he goes on to tell them that there is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So this is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 9:6, written 743 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah 9:7 is not going to be fulfilled till Jesus returns. But this is the fulfillment and the promise of God that He has presented us with the Prince of Peace. And you know, we put this up on the screen. A promise is only as good as the one who makes it. So what do you think? Have you ever been lied to, or you ever been disappointed by a friend of yours that didn't keep a promise? God keeps His promises. So you know, and that's why He gives us these prophecies. We call them near and far prophecies. The near prophecy, the quicker one, is the child was born. The far prophecy deals with the fact that the government will be on His shoulders. But the fulfillment of the near prophecy gives you confidence in the far prophecy. You understand? It's like if I tell you, I'm going to do this for you tomorrow and I'll do this for you next week, and I do it tomorrow, you've got a confidence level that I will do it the next week, right? If I tell you tomorrow I'm going to do this and I don't show up, what's your confidence level in my showing up next week? Pretty low, okay? So we need to understand that God is expressing Himself. God's telling these people, He's telling them about the birth of His Son. And the first point I want to make for you, and you guys know this, the very first point is that the peace that Christ offers is offered to everyone. It is not just offered to a select few. It is not just offered to the rich, to the powerful. It's not just offered to the fancy religious people. In fact, that's the amazing thing about God announcing it first to the shepherds. Why didn't He announce it to the priest? Why didn't He announce it through the temple? Why didn't He pick some magisterial, you know, purple-clad robed guy with a big hat or something to give this announcement to? Because it's for everybody. And if He had given it to the religious elite, I don't know what they would have done with it. But He knew what the shepherds were going to do with it. Y'all know what the shepherds did with it? Let's go tell. That was the cool thing. He gave it to them and He made it clear that this is for everyone. So everyone has the opportunity to have real peace. But, as we've said, it's not simply a question of avoiding problems. The second point I want you to see today is that it is not the absence of conflict, but it is a relationship in the presence of God. The peace that Jesus brings in our lives is not the absence of trouble. So if that's your definition of peace, you need to change it. You need to understand that there is a greater peace, there is a higher peace that Jesus offers. And I want to give you some scriptures this morning to show you this, because you'll think initially, how is this possible? So Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? Y'all with me? All right, here's what Jesus said. Write these scriptures down and look at them. Matthew 10, 34 through 35. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." So what's He saying? What He's saying is, I came for me to be put first. I came to establish a relationship that is going to create problems between parents, that is going to create problems between brothers and sisters, that is going to create problems between daughters and their mothers-in-law. And we have seen this historically. We see this when people come to Christ today in other countries, maybe even in this country. But if you become a Christian in some countries, you will be thrown out of the family. When we were in Ecuador, we heard lots of stories about people being thrown out of the family because they left the church that was prevalent down there and became Christians. They had to go live on their own. They had no family support. They lost their jobs. All kinds of things happened. But we need to understand that Jesus said, that's not the kind of peace that I came to bring. You know, we think of peace as being no conflict, everything's hunky-dory, you don't have to worry about it, blood pressure stays low. It's not what it is. And I'm leading you to the point where you see that peace is only a relationship with God. Second scripture I want you to write down is John 14:27. Now Jesus has told us, we just read, I didn't come to bring that kind of peace. But in John 14:27, he says he's going to tell us what kind of peace he brought. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the peace that Jesus is leaving with us is what he calls my peace. Now, did Jesus have a trouble-free life? No. I mean, he was hounded by the scribes and Pharisees for 3 years. He was, you know, Herod tried to kill him when he was less than 2 years old. His life was tough, as we would see it. He had no place to lay his head. He had no home. He was what we would call an itinerant preacher, traveling around. Lay his head on a rock or lay his head on a pile of hay. Persecuted. Look at the last weeks of his life. Definitely persecuted. But yet he had peace. So you got to think, well, what kind of peace is he leaving me? What is his peace? It wasn't peace as we would think about it sometimes, but it was peace with who? Yeah, you guys got it. Peace with his Father. It was peace with God the Father. Jesus had a perfect, peaceful relationship with God the Father. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and we see the impact of this peace that he left us with. Remember, we have to accept it. It's available to everyone, but we have to reach out and take it. Romans 5, 1 tells us about this peace. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, that's by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the peace that Jesus brought was the peace of a perfect, peaceful relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, y'all see the value in that? If your relationship with God is peaceful, it means that you have been justified by faith. It means you have been justified just as if I never sinned. It means you have been regarded legally as not guilty of all that sin that has been committed in your life and that will be committed in your life. God puts a not guilty sign on your forehead. Until that happens, you are at war with God. You may think, oh, no, I'm not. Well, yeah, you are. Turn over to Romans 8, 6 and 7. I want you to understand the view of God towards us until the moment that we accept Jesus Christ and become justified. Romans 8, 6 and 7 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and, what's that next word? Peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. All right? So what it's saying is we were enemies of God. We were against God until we became spiritually minded. We became spiritually minded when we take Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's how we can have this peace. Paul wrote in Philippians 4, 7, he says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the peace that surpasses all understanding. I can have perfect peace with God, and that is an everlasting peace. And it changes my entire life. I can have peace with my brothers for 10 or 15 minutes and we're good, right? Those of you who have multiple children, how long does the peace last between the two kids? Sometimes not even 10 minutes, right? But we can have a different lasting kind of peace. That's what he's talking about. That's the Prince of Peace. That's what we're going to have when Christ returns and sets up his government. We will have this perfect relationship in the presence of God where sin does not corrupt us anymore, where we do not have to worry about all the problems that exist, but the reason is because we're focused on him. It is simply because we have this kind of peace. And go back to the story in Luke. You can see what happened to the shepherds, which will bring us to our third point. But he says in verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So this verse, "and suddenly there was with the angel," it literally translates, "and there was an explosion with the angels." So you've got one angel who's giving this message, and suddenly, kaboom, there's a bunch of angels that are sitting there, and they're all praising God, and this is what they're saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." That part is actually translated peace to those upon whom God's favor falls. So the third point that I want to show you is that God's favor comes from being at peace with Him. So you want to know whose favor does God fall on? It falls on those who have accepted Jesus Christ. It falls on those people who have taken the gift of Christmas and said, "I accept the Prince of Peace. I know who the Prince of Peace is. I want Him as my Prince of Peace." You know, the Bible tells us that in this world, we are going to have troubles. The Bible tells us that we're going to have persecutions and that we shouldn't be surprised that we're going to have it. But the kind of peace He's wanting us to accept, the kind of peace that Jesus Christ is bringing, is a peace that cannot be rattled by circumstance. It cannot be rattled by changes in circumstance. Stock markets going up and down. People getting sick. It can't be rattled when you get a bad diagnosis. It can't be rattled when you're told, "Hey, you know, the cancer is inoperable." It can't be rattled when you're told, "This is a family problem." This is the kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. Nobody that's ever been through those situations will know what you're doing unless they know God. They will not be able to understand how it is that you can face those times with a confident assurance that you will be at peace. And you know what? We blame a lot of our struggles on outside circumstances. You know, I'm a victim here, somebody did me wrong there, this happened to the market, this happened to my bank account. All those things we kind of blame it on, but a lot of times the root problem with our struggles, with our angst that we have, is that we do not have peace. We don't have peace with God, and we know it. Do you have peace with God today? Do you have the confident assurance that you will spend eternity with Him? And do you know, as we went about through 1 John, that all of your sins have been forgiven and that nothing that you have done, are thinking right now, or are going to do or think tomorrow will count against you? Because all that sin, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, was nailed on a cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus took all of our sin. He didn't just take it on. He became that sin so that God could punish it. Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we could have peace with God, so that we could find God's favor. That word is grace, too, by the way. So that we could find God's grace, unmerited favor. We did nothing to deserve it. You look at those shepherds. That's why I'm so glad he came to the shepherds. They had no redeeming social value at all, according to the eyes of society. But to God, they were so important, he wanted them to know first that his son had been born. If you're sitting here thinking, yeah, I'm just one person, I'm a nobody. God wants you to know that his son has been born. And let me tell you this, the Bible is full of stories where God will do miracles just to save one person. So let me tell you this. If there was only one of you in this church who said, I'm a sinner and I want him to die for me, Jesus would have come and died. He would have done it. And that peace that you should have of knowing that the antagonism that existed between God and you is gone should be a huge Christmas gift for you this year. You know, the Old Testament says it like this, I am against the wicked every day. The New Testament tells us, for when we were enemies against God, Christ died for the ungodly. The Bible clearly tells us that from God's perspective, until this peace is restored, until this peace is created through justification by faith, we are enemies. We have no peace. That peace will show up in your lack of sleep. It'll show up in your mind. You won't be able to concentrate. There's lots of manifestations of peace, or the lack of peace. But when you really know what peace is, when you really understand that it is the absence of any further enmity between you and God, and that you can have it forever, the peace will flood your body. It will flood your mind. And it will actually, if you watch it, it will take over every other aspect of it. Because once you have peace with God, just like getting the relationship with Jesus right, it will trickle down. You'll start having more peace with more people. You'll start having more peace in your circumstances. Why? They're not going to change sometimes. But the reason you start having peace in those circumstances is because you no longer look at the circumstances. You look at God. You say, I've got perfect peace with God. Does it matter what happens to me now? He's got a purpose. He's got a purpose for my life. And the only way that we can have that assurance is if we understand what peace is. So, it is not the absence of conflict. That will not happen. Jesus told us, in this world you will have trouble, but be encouraged, I have overcome the world. You remember that verse? He says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We don't have anything to fear once we accept this peace, once we become at peace with God. It is not in external circumstances. It is in the person of Jesus Christ, and it requires that we find God's favor. And there's absolutely nothing we can do to find God's favor except Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We can't work ourselves to His favor. For by grace, favor, you are saved, not through works, lest anyone should boast. The way to find His favor is to believe on Jesus Christ, whom He sent for the sole reason of redeeming mankind. That's peace. So today, if you don't know peace and you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ, that's step one. You will never know true peace.
Focusing on